Welcome, friends. Thank you for joining us here on Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz, and I'm so glad you can be here for our Day 3 Newsworthy Clips. Time to update our vocabulary with news clips from around the world. With me in the studio, I have Josh and Lois. Hi, guys.
Hi there, Liz. I'm liking what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. I'm glad you're liking
it. Cheerful.
All right. Yes, it is. Sort of, in some ways. Okay. Well, for the past 2 days, we've talked about amusement parks and benzodiazepine and how it might put you at risk when it comes to Alzheimer's and other kinds of diseases. But today, we're going to talk about entertainment, specifically in-flight entertainment. Now, friends, nowadays, a lot of us, we have more and more opportunities to travel. And so what you do on a plane can be part of whether you're going to have a good trip or not.
That's right.
So in-flight entertainment. Guys, what's your experience when it comes to in-flight entertainment?
I like to bring my own, Liz.
Okay.
I sometimes don't even touch the screen in front of me. I will be focused on my own iPad, laptop, or iPhone combination.
Okay.
And I am the opposite.
Oh, wow.
If I am taking a direct flight from Asia to either Vancouver or Toronto, I am touching the screen almost the whole flight.
Okay, so I can see it now. If the two of you are on the same flight, Josh's in-flight entertainment system, that screen has zero fingerprints, while Lois's is like fingerprints galore.
Right, but I have the benefit of being married to somebody who works in the industry, so I'm in business class, so it's a lot of fun, the screen in business class.
Yes, I can relate. There have been times where you can see the difference between the two classes or the three, depending on the flight that you're on.
Yeah.
So,
how about you, Liz? Do you just take a Xanax and sleep your way back to America?
I don't need to take anything. I just conk out. So I'm one of those. Somehow I'm able to sleep on the plane.
That's good.
Yeah, maybe it's called working myself till total exhaustion before I hop on the plane. Maybe that's the reason why I can sleep so well, because usually for a lot of us, you know, to be able to go somewhere means you need to take time off from work, which means you need to get a lot of work done in advance, which means you're sleep deprived before you even get on the plane.
Right.
So for myself, either I don't watch any movies at all or listen to any music at all. I just sleep through the entire flight, or it's my time to catch up on my movies. That's the other thing.
I'm kind of the same way. It's either my time to sleep, but if I leave on an early morning flight or even before noon, I'm not ready to sleep.
I
might have slept all night.
Yes.
So now I go, oh, yeah, now I can catch up on the movies.
Yes, yes. And for myself, I'll be honest, listeners, I do enjoy movies, but sometimes I just don't have the time to run down to the local theaters and enjoy the movies. And afterwards, after a while, I realize a lot of the movies I've been wanting to watch are no longer available. So I catch up when I'm on the plane. And sometimes I've been known to do marathons, too, you know, where the entire flight was just one movie after another. And some on repeats, too.
Oh, wow. Well, we're talking mostly in our little interlude here about transatlantic flights. When I was in business prior to coming to Taiwan, I worked a lot on the planes, and Wi-Fi was very important.
Oh, yes.
And
for
getting
sure.
on the internet, on the flight, kept me connected, and I was doing email and working my way from Los Angeles to New York.
Right.
We don't have that luxury when we're flying over the Pacific Ocean.
Right. Whether you're across the Atlantic or the Pacific, there are other issues. International flights are a little different. But for today's article, it's actually domestic flights that we're talking about. And what they're talking about is some stuff that's going on in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of our friends, if you've never flown any of the domestic flights within North America, you might find these issues a little bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to international flights, certain things are already included. Certain things are a given, we can say.
Like a meal.
Right, like you expect to be fed, and the food will be delivered to you. And you have choices even, okay? And when it comes to checking in, yes, you do check things in, and you don't pay for them. Everything's already covered, unless your weight, the baggage weight, is way past.
That might be my problem.
Right, so unless that's the case. But other than that, you know, when it comes to international flights, certain things are, I would always say, standard. Okay. But when it comes to flying within North America, you have certain other issues to think about.
And we've talked about them before in the advanced class.
Right.
About how airlines have gotten very creative.
That's a good word.
Coming up with ways to charge domestic passengers.
Boy, yes. You're being really nice saying very creative.
I appreciate that,
it's
Josh.
It's incredible what they're coming up with.
Creative.
The folks at Spirit Airlines win the award for the most creative ways.
Maybe they should put the word mean in front of that.
They are charging you now. If you want a window or an aisle seat, you'll have to pay more.
In advance. Oh, wow.
But that middle seat will cost you, you know, X amount of dollars.
Oh, man.
They charge for drinks. Mm. They don't even give you a soda.
Not one drink.
Mm-mm. Wow. So, yeah, that's a little different. So we have all kinds of interesting things going on, and I'm using the word interesting in a very liberal way when it comes to domestic flights here. Well, let's go ahead and turn to page 28 of our Advanced magazine. If you have a copy, friends, please do follow along. We're going to take today's lesson and cut it into two parts. For part one, it's just the first column, and Josh, I'm going to have you help us out with today's reading, and friends, please follow along.
Airlines take different approaches to in-flight entertainment. In their ongoing quest to squeeze more revenue out of passengers, airlines are split on a big potential moneymaker, in-flight entertainment. Large carriers such as Delta Airlines have invested heavily in touchscreen entertainment systems that are built into seat backs. Southwest Airlines and others offer only onboard wireless internet, so passengers can watch movies and television shows using their own tablet computer or smartphone. Airlines are taking very different approaches because each airline has a different perspective on how they run their business, said Henry Hartevelt, a travel industry analyst for Atmosphere Research Group. What kind of in-flight entertainment an airline offers reflects the type of passenger carriers are targeting. Airlines with seatback systems are going after well-heeled flyers with money to spend. Carriers with only Wi-Fi hope to attract thrifty travelers. Big money is on the line. The nation's airlines pocketed $27.5 billion last year from onboard sales of food, liquor, and entertainment, and all other revenue besides fares, baggage fees, and reservation change charges.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you so much with the reading. Okay, so we see in the opening of today's article a rather interesting statement here. In their ongoing quest to squeeze more revenue out of passengers, airlines are split on a big potential moneymaker, in-flight entertainment. Very, very fancy sentence. It sounds so formal. It sounds rather impressive. And basically, it just means this issue continues on. And what is the issue? How to make more money from passengers. But airlines are different when it comes to their method, specifically when it comes to in-flight entertainment. That's what it basically means.
Yep.
Right. And that once again, we see what Josh mentioned. What do you mean? Is this meaning you have to pay for in-flight entertainment? Yes. In North America, whether it be Canada, United States, Mexico, you're going to pay for your in-flight entertainment. So you're either going to buy those little earbuds or you're going to pay for the movies or whatever it is.
Or the Wi-Fi.
$14.99
to have Wi-Fi on a LA to New York flight.
Ooh.
Not cheap.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
That's expensive.
My. Okay. So the point is trying to make money. But how? And the airlines have basically two different ways to do it. At least for now, this article is trying to talk about the two major ways to approach this. Now, again, okay, let's treat this as a business article now, friends, okay?
Yeah, and we need to stop feeling sorry for the airline.
You know, I agree,
yes,
Josh.
9/11 was tough. They had to upgrade all their security. And the recession was hard because oil went up to $120 a barrel. But they're making tons of money now. Their profits are at record highs. And yes, ticket prices are still relatively cheap. You know, inflation hasn't hit airlines like it has, you know, college tuition or something. Mm-hmm. But we're paying a lot more at the end of the day mm-hmm. when you add in all these fees.
Mm-hmm. A lot. These fees do add up. All right. So, okay, let's take a look here. Again, this is an article written by Hugo Martin, and it's for the LA Times and was meant for last year. Okay, and he says that in line four, large carriers or companies, airline companies such as Delta, okay, Delta Airlines, they've invested heavily in touch screen entertainment systems that are built into seat backs. Okay, so we have Delta on one hand. Okay, and this is not just Delta only. There are other companies as well, but he's just using Delta as an example, where they put in a lot of money to get these really fancy screens installed in the back of our seats on the plane. Okay, but then on the other end, the other camp, we should say, we have Southwest. Okay, and Southwest Airlines, and what do they offer?
Well, they have no interest in installing screens into all the seats. They are comfortable just offering their passengers onboard Wi-Fi or wireless internet.
Okay, so you have these two wide extreme examples mm-hmm. here. On one end, you have those who provide everything, and the passengers just need to touch the screen and get what they want. Then you have the other end where Wi-Fi is available, and ta-da, you're on your own.
That's okay. Right. Okay. You get your password and you can do what you want, right?
Exactly. So then with the freedom, then the passengers can watch movies and television shows using their own whatever 3G gadget that they have with them. 3C gadget, I should say. Not 3G, sorry. But whether it be tablets or their laptop computers or whatever, smartphones, you know, they're on their own. Now, we have a statement here, and we're on line 11. What does it say?
It says, airlines are taking very different approaches because each airline has a different perspective on how they run their business.
Okay, so we're taking this from a business standpoint now, okay? Aside from the fact that this is about airline companies, let's say businesses trying to figure out how to make money, and we have basically two different ideas as to how you're going to get the money. And this is a statement made by whom?
Well, his name is Henry Hardeveldt, mm-hmm. and he's a travel industry analyst. And we should point out, I mean, these screens, they're not new, right?
No,
these planes have been flying for the last 5 years with mm-hmm. screens in the back.
Yeah, even more.
What's new is the customer's expectations of what those screens should deliver, mm-hmm. right? They used to be happy with just a little Tetris game and a map mm-hmm. of where the plane was going.
Right.
Now, you want really rich experiences. You want first-run movies. You want to be able to order food and drinks. I know Virgin Airlines mm-hmm. actually rolled out one of the best in-flight systems. And the planes are the same as everyone else's, and the screens are the same. Mm-hmm. But they did a really cool, custom, kind of snarky, cheeky experience and treated you, kind of in a sophisticated way. And you can get the flight attendants to deliver all this stuff to you. Not for free, of course. But there is that expectation now among customers that I want a really convenient and immersive experience when I'm in that seat.
Right. Yeah. I can remember the days when there was only one movie and one movie only, and everybody watches that one same screen.
Oh, right.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Remember those days?
The screen's so small.
Some of our listeners are too young to remember those days. Okay. But then all of a sudden it became personal.
Yes.
You want to have your own personal entertainment. Suddenly you get to decide what you want to watch and when you want to watch it. And then all of a sudden it became you have several choices and, you know, not just one movie, but several movies.
Or live TV.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and then these things just keep adding on and on and the selections get longer and longer. But we see an interesting comment here or point in the following paragraph, line 16. What kind of in-flight entertainment an airline offers reflects the type of passenger carriers are targeting. Major business concept right here. It depends on who you're trying to do business with.
Exactly.
Your TA, your target audience.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, well, the two airlines we just talked about, Delta and Southwest, have two very different target audiences.
Right. So on one hand, we have airlines with seatback systems, and what are they going after?
Well, they're going after well-heeled flyers. And well-heeled, that's a great word, means wealthy, people with lots of money who are comfortable with money to spend. Carriers with only Wi-Fi hope to attract thrifty travelers.
Okay.
Thrifty means they're careful with their money.
Right.
And they keep track of it.
Right. So it's about knowing who you're working with. There are people out there who are willing to spend money, but they expect something from that kind of money that they're spending.
I guess the term well-heeled just refers to them wearing nice shoes.
Well, you know what? They have always said, at least my parents used to tell me this, you could actually tell if people had money by looking at their shoes. And in other words, they meant really how they kept their shoes.
Right.
Were they polished, nice laces? Were their heels in good condition?
Right.
Did they look like they really valued it? And you know,
we're all looking at each other's shoes.
Yeah, don't look at mine right now. They do need a good polishing.
So, but on the other hand, we do have people who are a lot more careful with how they spend their money. And this is nothing to say. We're not talking about their economic status. It's just purely how much people are willing to pay and for what and why. We can say there are wealthy people out there who are very careful and are not willing to spend too much. And at the same time, we know people who might be making less but are not afraid to spend a whole lot. So it just depends on who you're trying to do business with. And airline companies are seeing that there is something for everybody here.
Sure. And also, you know, what's important to you on an airplane?
Exactly. What do you want from a flight? What do you expect? What do you think is reasonable? Okay. Now, we have an interesting phrase in the next paragraph. Big money is on the line. On the line. What does that mean?
It means it's at risk. It means it's available for the taking.
Okay. So we're not really talking about a real line. Okay. There's nothing drawn here. Okay. The nation's airlines pocketed how much money?
Wow. $27.5 billion, that would be U.S., last year from onboard sales of food, liquor, and entertainment, and all other revenue besides fares, baggage fees, and reservation change charges.
Oh.
So, you know what? Airlines are not going to give this up now. It's kind of like, you got your treats? Well, you're not taking away my treats now.
Right.
Nope.
No. So now remember, friends, this was written in 2014. So this $27.5 billion we're talking about, that was 2013.
That is incredible. You think just 5 years ago, the things that used to be included in the price of a domestic ticket, from the checked bags to the meal to the entertainment to the blanket and pillow, that used to be all free.
Right. And, you know, I know myself, I am a thrifty person. I mean, not obsessed with it, but I am. But I have to tell you, if I'm actually on vacation, like, for instance, I'm on vacation, I'm going to go for the first time from Toronto to maybe, I went this past summer to Nova Scotia, and I'd never been to Cape Breton Island. Well, I am already on the vacation mode in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So I am one of those people that airlines and airports must love, because I go, I think I'll buy this magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm on the airplane. Yeah, that sandwich looks really good. Yeah, I need a better pair of headphone or earplugs or whatever, because I'm in my vacation mode, and maybe I only travel once a year for vacation on an airplane.
Right.
So, you know what? Even though, like, I might spend some money.
Right.
I might be off the airplane, and by the time I'm off the airplane, I've spent anywhere between $15 and $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as someone like me who used to travel, you know, 4 or 5 times a month, there's no way I could do that.
Right. Right.
I brought a sandwich every time I got on the plane, because there's no way I was going to spend $10 on some lousy sandwich.
Because that's going to be $50 in a month, right? Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. It's about understanding the different kinds of people out there and the way that their spending habits.
Exactly. And that's what airlines want to do.
Right.
How do these passengers spend their money?
Right. Okay. Well, let's find out more with the second half of today's reading. Please follow along as Josh reads the second part of today's article.
There are drawbacks and benefits for each entertainment system. Seatback systems can cost as much as $6 million and weigh as much as 600 pounds per plane, depending on the size of the aircraft. But the systems can generate hefty revenues by letting passengers buy food, drinks, and entertainment with a touch of the screen. Airlines that offer only onboard internet call their entertainment strategy BYOD, or bring your own device. Onboard Wi-Fi systems weigh only 70 or 80 pounds. By eliminating the weight of the much heavier seatback system, BYOD carriers save as much as $50,000 a plane a year on fuel costs, which they say helps to keep their fares low. The days in which the airline is intent to provide entertainment to every seatback, I think those days are disappearing, said Jay Sorensen, a consultant to airlines.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for helping us out with today's reading. And now, friends, we're in the second column on page 28. If you've just joined us, it's our third day of Newsworthy Clips, and we've been talking about in-flight entertainment and the ways airlines are figuring out how to take advantage of that and make the most of the situation in a financial way.
Of what or who?
So, again, I'd like to encourage us all to just look at this from a business standpoint, understanding who you're doing business with and understanding your clients and their spending habits. Okay, but I know some of us, because we fly so often, we can't help but take things so personally here in the studio. All right. There are drawbacks and benefits for each entertainment system, as we see at the top of the second column here.
Right.
Okay, drawbacks. What does that mean?
Drawbacks means a disadvantage or problem.
Okay, so there are some problems here. As much as we want to understand our clients, we have to realize there are some issues here to think about. Okay, next paragraph, we see seatback systems can cost as much as how much?
$6 million per plane.
Okay, and weigh as...
That's a real concern.
Right.
As much as 600 pounds per plane. That's why they want to make some money, folks.
That's a lot of VCRs there on the back of the plane.
Well,
that's
a lot of weight.
And it's a lot of cargo they can't put on the plane
with
the passengers to keep your tickets down.
Right. And so the systems can generate hefty revenues. Okay. Hefty is another word just meaning what?
Large.
Large. Okay. Nice, cool word to mean large. Hefty. Okay. So these systems do generate a lot of money by letting passengers buy food, drinks, and entertainment just by beep, 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 touching the screen.
That's right. Swipe your credit card along the side or hand it to the flight attendant when he comes, and you can spend to your heart's content on a plane these days.
Right. But then we also have, next paragraph, line 16, airlines that offer only onboard internet call their entertainment strategy BYOD.
That was a first for me hearing that. I was thinking of something else, but this says, or bring your own device.
Right. Now, BYO something is something that we find sometimes amongst North American friends. It's just a way of letting people know that they are responsible for bringing their whatevers. It could be BYOC, bring your own cup, BYOM, bring your own mug, whatever. Okay. It could
bring your own lawn chair.
Right. Bring your own whatever. In other words, whoever's hosting will not be responsible for that.
And our Studio Classroom Line listeners know this phrase already, Liz, because we taught it last year as one of our buzzwords.
Excellent.
Because BYOD, it's not a airline-specific term. It's actually taken out of the corporate business world with all of us bringing our own devices to work and how IT managers and security experts have to deal with all the iPads and iPhones that want to get on the network, or you want your email on your phone.
Right.
And what are the issues related to that?
Right. So there's the BYOD approach. And with that, then, onboard Wi-Fi systems weigh only 70 or 80 pounds. Big difference.
A couple of routers. That's easy.
Yeah. So by eliminating the weight of the much heavier seatback system, BYOD carriers save as much as how much money?
$50,000 a plane on the fuel. And that's where, whenever you talk about weight and a plane, you're talking about the cost of gasoline.
That's right.
Yes.
Of aviation fuel. That's right. You are. And the thing here is, when I saw this number and was preparing for this yesterday, I just went, okay, but will they pass on that savings to the passenger or will it go to the owner?
Mm-hmm.
That was my big concern. Yeah, my husband, who's an airline pilot, would say owner.
Yeah. So, well.
They say it's going to keep fares low. But
flip side then. Flipping it around in a more positive way. At least it doesn't, by keeping it this way, you don't have airfares shooting up high.
That's right. We hope that.
Right. We hope. The point is to keep it from going up high.
That's right.
Yeah. So then we have Jay Sorensen, okay, and he's a consultant to airlines. And what does he say?
Well, he says the days in which the airline is intent to provide movies and internet to every seat back, well, he thinks those are disappearing.
Okay, well, I think this is more of a domestic issue for now.
Right.
Right.
You'd be surprised to get on a flight to Paris from Asia that didn't have a IFE, an in-flight entertainment system. Right.
Yeah.
I would be shocked. I would be surprised. Yeah. I would be dumbfounded.
You better have a good battery pack. Let's put it that way.
That too.
And backup.
Yeah, that's something we do not have in America, are chargers at each of the seats, which is becoming pretty standard on international flights.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Keep your device powered.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy. I call them juicers, and I'm one of them. It's people scrounging around for an outlet in the terminal before they get on so that you can charge all four of your devices before you get on your flight.
Because
once you're up in the air, you're on your own.
Yes. Yeah. More and more airports are having those stations, your juicing stations,
mm-hmm.
where people are waiting to get on board. You get a couple of minutes of quick, plug it in and charge them up. Get the juices.
Often looks like a tower. I've noticed that in some of the international airports.
Yes.
I learned to carry around a one of those multi-prong outlets.
Oh, good.
Oh, you're
And plug
brilliant.
That in at the gate and take everyone else's and put it in with me and we can all be happy. I'd be a popular guy at the gate.
Oh, you are.
That is brilliant, Josh.
I was a frequent flyer. I was a road warrior.
Now you just got to get the adapter so when you go to the UK or wherever else.
Right.
You can,
and then you are everybody's friend.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Well, friends, that's a good tip. See if you might want to do that and be a blessing to somebody else.
Exactly. So, you are a blessing, Josh.
That's wonderful. Well, our time is almost up, and that concludes today's newsworthy clip. So, friends, what do you think? BYOD approach? Does that sound interesting for those of you who've never tried it? That's quite an experience. And that's all the time we have for today. Do join us again next time for our advanced article. Until then, my name is Liz.
Lois.
And I'm Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.